Remember about, you know, a week or two ago when we talked about what's happening around us, what's happening in the news, what's happening in terms of a worldview. I just left that up. Enoch walked with God. That's how we finished that lesson. And the lesson there is you don't have to run with God. You walk with God. And we, you know, achieve His purpose when we follow Him. When we run ahead of His purpose, we have difficulty. And as I flipped this over the other day and started looking at the final parts of this lesson, it struck me, wow, because this group that we're studying, this drama, you ever have exciting drama? Yeah. I hope you're reading this in Genesis. It doesn't get any better than this. It just doesn't. But they were trying to run ahead of God. You know, the promises that were made to Abraham didn't change. But time and time again, we find that his descendants, and I like to call it us, we like to get ahead of it because we know how to accomplish it. And if you translate this from back in Genesis up to today, you can see a lot of things that we do that sort of reflect what we had going on here with Isaac and Jacob and Rebecca. We like to get ahead of the game. And when we do that, the results are still what God wants, but in the meantime, a real price can be paid. So walking with God was where we finished steady, consistent, disciplined, balance, tongue control and worship. So today's lesson is not alone, and let's paint a little picture. This is thousands of years ago, right? We're 4,000 years ago probably, and we can't even be sure because whether this is the beginning, Bronze Age 1, Bronze Age 2, Bronze Age 3, because they have all these different ages of history. And today we know more about this time than ever before. 50 years ago, it was really difficult to tell. They would say the historicity or validity of these stories is in question because there was no way to confirm anything that was said. You know, were the habits the same? Was it presented in a way that would have been acceptable in that day? In other words, the activities, would they have taken place? And today we know a lot more, and we know that most of this, in fact, just about all of it that we can confirm, does tie in with those particular times of history. And I don't know if we necessarily understand that time of history. We're used to Europe, Asia, the big world. This was a time when everybody was a king somewhere. And if you had the biggest group and the most powerful army, might have been 100 people, you were in charge of your area. Now, there were some major groups. The Amorites that we see in the Bible, they were a powerful group. They ruled for about 200 years. You know, we get excited in this country because we say, hey, we've been around 200 years. Some of these empires, the Egyptian Empire, depending upon the dynasty, one went 600 years and had basic control of the world. But in saying that, there were still a lot of these little kings and these little groups that were powerful. And so you had the same break that we have now. You had the agrarian, the farmers, and you had the city folk. You know, times don't change, do they? And for some reason, they had trouble upon occasion. So that's where we are in history. We're back in this time when the little groups, and you would have had Abraham at one point becomes very wealthy as a result of his activities here with Jacob and the brothers. You have one brother who's agrarian, the other who's pastoral. He's doing animals. So we have those two people involved. And what we have taking place is trying to get ahead of God. Now, why do I say that? Because the promises that were made to Abraham and Isaac were clear. Nothing changed. But people became concerned. Now let's talk a little bit. Last week we talked about the deceiver, right? Yeah. Deception. Let's talk just for a minute about that. When you look at this account, do you have any response? We set up Esau, right? First of all, Esau loses his birthright. That was his mistake, sort of, but it was stolen from him. So now it's time for the blessing. And the blessing is not just, hey, you're a good guy, go forth. The blessing meant you're going to inherit everything. In their culture, that's how it worked. So the blessing would go to the oldest son. We had that. And so what happens? Mama decides that her favorite son should get the blessing and everything. So she creates this deception. Jacob goes along with it. All right, any responses to that? Huh?
You did what your mama said.
Yeah, I did what mama said, and the trouble was unbelievable. But that's the fact. He went along with this, knowing what had happened before, and figuring, I don't know if Esau is going to be real pleased with this when this happens, but he went along with it because he wanted the blessing. Now, remember that God had already said he was going to get the blessing before he was born. Remember she had twins bouncing around, and she said, what's all this stuff going on inside my womb? And she was told, the second one is going to become the first one, and the first one is going to serve the second one. So God said that was going to be. He didn't say, I'm going to need your help with this now. We're going to have to arrange it. So every time we study Scripture, and I use the term study, we have to think about it. Not just the drama of the account, and it is a great account, but what's it really telling us? In the Old Testament, I'm not sure I like that term, the Hebrew Testament, but we call it the Old Testament. It tells us about God and His plan and how God's plan is always achieved. And it gives us the characteristics of God that we have come to understand, His mercy, His grace. He is a forgiving God. All right, any amens in this group? Yeah, He is a forgiving, amen, and three amens from me. He is a forgiving God. And we see it time and time again. Having said that, there are still always results from what we've done when we've got ahead of Him. So let's just take a minute or two now to look. We're not alone. We're going to, I just put a couple of things. God reveals to those He chooses His purpose. God provides the results. God reveals to those He chooses for something His purpose, and He provides the results. You get that last one? He provides the results. We don't. He provides them. So when we're aligned with Him, the results come. There are times I wonder how we've lost this basic doctrine of the Old Testament and New Testament, which is God does provide results. And once we understand the purpose, and I think we know our purpose is very simple. We're here to spread the good news, to live the good news, to attract people through the good news. That's simple. That's what we're here for. And God will provide the results. We'll scheme and come up with things and do stuff, but God's got the only one who can provide the results. So from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And so one other question that always bothered me, what happened to all these people that were God followers? In the beginning you had Adam and Eve, right? And they sort of went off the deep end, but they were still worshipers of God after that. And then things got so bad in the world that there's only one righteous man, Noah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Think about that for a minute. So God looked down and said, this is going too far, and basically started it all over again. And even in starting it all over again, he had to covenant with one man, Abraham. So it just, here it begins with God. Now we have a boat in God, and the people come out of that ark, and they're obviously God. They've just survived everything. They saw God's working. And they come out, and as time goes on, away we move. We are a hard-necked people. We are tough. Satan has an enormous amount of impact on our lives, and sometimes we don't even know it. It's in culture, and it's in everything that we see around us. So in any case, we get now we're coming through Abraham's line, and we're having trouble here. And right in this particular part of Genesis, we have Esau, we're going to bring us up to date now. He's lost everything. And it said, Esau held a grudge against Jacob, surprise, because of his blessing that the father had given to Jacob. He said to himself, because we all talk to ourselves at times, the days of mourning of my father are near, because he was getting old when he gave the blessing. I usually gave it before they died. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Apparently, not only did he say this to himself, he must have said it to someone else, because Rebecca found out that her older son had said this, sent for Jacob, and said, your brother's consoling himself with the thought of killing you. All right? Consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Now, I'm not so sure I'd be ready to do what she said again, but so far it seemed it worked. You know, he got the... He got the birthright, he got the blessing, and now he wants to get killed. So he says that he does listen to her, and she says, go to my brother Laban, Haran, stay with him until your brother fury subsides. And when he's no longer angry with you and he forgets what you did to him, that just got me. Yeah. He forgets what you did, that you took everything away from the man. Then I'll send word for you to come back. I don't want to lose both of you in one day. All right, so there's Mama's rationalization. So this is a big deal. You know how far away this is? 550 miles away. No trains, cars, or planes. He has to walk, basically. And they don't send him with a group of servants or anything like that. Off, they say, you've got to go to Haran. Now that's all the way back. You know, way back. And in any case,
A few days and then come back.
Yeah, and stay a few days and come back. Yes, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? But in any case, he does listen, because if she knows he's going to be killed, that's a problem. And so we have Esau's planning to kill, and Esau hears this discussion between Rebecca and Jacob, where Rebecca says, I'm disgusted with living with these Hittite women. Now, remember, everybody gets married numerous times for various reasons. We're not going to discuss that in detail, but they end up with wives. Abraham had said, no Hittite wives. If you measure them, you marry them, you have problems. They have their gods. They influence you. There's a battle. Well, guess what? It happened. And so Rebecca says, I'm tired of it. Esau hears this. Now, Esau still wants to get in the good side of his father. So he says, oh, both of my wives are Hittites. And so he goes and he marries Ishmael's daughter, I guess it is, and comes back and says, well, you know, I married her. Now, you know, I've got one that's not a Hittite. All right, so be it. You know, it was sort of another way that he's trying to get back into the good graces of his father. Now, we should keep in mind that, you know, God's plan is still going to be met. So here we have it. we have the blessing, it took place, and that we have Jacob being told, take a wife for yourself from among the daughters of Laban, and Laban is the brother of Rebekah. And may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of people. May he give you and your descendants. Notice that, the blessing, may he give you and your descendants, because it takes a while for all of this to be accomplished. And in accomplishing it, we get to where really we are today. We see the constant growth of the nation, and then we eventually see them going back to their homeland. So Jacob gets up, takes off. He's been told, remember, don't marry any Canaan women. Esau's married this other lady, and Mahalath, the sister of Naboth, and the daughter of Ishmael's son of Abraham. So he has his current wives plus a new wife trying to get on the right side of everybody. And off Jacob goes on this trip. And about the third day, now he's moving. He probably, according to what they say in two books I read, he did about 80 miles in 2.5-3 days, which is pretty good clip. Because he is trying to get out of God Dodge. Well, I don't put that down there anywhere, but that's what he was trying to do. He had to get away from Esau before he was killed. So he's following that, and now we have the next big experience. We don't know much about Jacob's godliness, but we do know that he fell asleep, and he was sleeping on a rock. Now, a lot has been said, you know, you put a rock down, you put your head down, keep it up a little bit. So he was sleeping on a rock, and whether that was normal in that time, some people say yes, they always slept on hard things. So he found the right rock and slept on it. And while he was sleeping, he had a dream. And this was not your everyday dream. This was a dream where he saw what was essentially a stairway, probably the better interpretation, may say ladder. We have the song, I am climbing Jacob's ladder, which goes together well, and in some of the old renderings it says ladder, probably stairway is a little better. And stairway, angels going back and forth, back and forth. Hey, we just learned something, didn't we? Angels are going back and forth. So, you know, you think of angels, particularly, wake up in the morning and say, well, where's my angel? And if you're married, you better say it next to you. But did you ever think of that?
He's got a name for me, but it's not angel.
Oh, my. In any case, we just learned that there are angels, and that the angels aren't in heaven stuck, but they are going back and forth, and they are doing what God wants them to do. So when you say, no one's here to help me, sorry, we have the Holy Spirit, plus we have these angels able to minister. And I don't know how they're going to get here, or how they're going to show up, or what they're going to do, but clearly this is what takes place in his dream. And from this, I mean, obviously not a nightmare, but the one at the top of this stairway, it says, and the angels of God were ascending and descending. There above it stood the Lord, which is Yahweh. It's capitalized, so that's what it would be. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. So now he establishes what it is. And then he makes his promise. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out west to east, north and south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you. I love that. I am with you. And will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. And if I'm Jacob at this point, I'm starting to feel pretty good because I've got a 600-mile trip walking through areas that have a lot of people that aren't nice, and I have to meet this man I've never met before, who's my mother's brother, and I got to get a wife there. I wonder if I'll ever get home. God just said, I'm going to bring you back. So that's good news. This is a promise. This is God's promise. And it's not a covenant where he tells Jacob he has to do something. So basically, Jacob is in this horrible place all by himself, isolated. God reveals himself to him. And probably when it says he was afraid, it makes sense. It says he was afraid after seeing this. And before that, he recognized that God was in the place, and that's one of our another songs. Surely the Lord was in this place. Great little, surely the presence of the Lord. You know, we used to sing that little chorus in here. He is here, hallelujah. And, oh, he's here. Oh, he is here. So surely he is in this place. But then he encountered angels in the dream. And what always happens when you encounter an angel? Fear. That's the reaction. And so he was afraid. And so then he says, now he's afraid because he knows I wasn't exactly God's favorite person with all these deceptions, probably. I don't think that's the way you're supposed to live. It doesn't say that in the scripture, but I can just see it. I just experienced God. I've done a lot of things wrong. And so comes back and he says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And by that means it's the area where God is. And this is the gate of heaven, because that's what he saw. He saw the gate to heaven above and the angels coming back and forth. Now, what's he say he's going to do? He says, he made a vow. He's the only patriarch that made a vow. Others covenanted, he made a vow. And the vow was to, remember, all he had was clothes at this point. And he said, I'm taking and will give, it says to God, if you will be with me, will watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give, and you will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I can return safely to my father's house. Then the Lord will be my God. So after all this, he wants to make a deal. It's a vow. It's a vow. He says, you know what? You've just said you're going to bring me back. Now, if you do it, think about that for a minute. God, you made this promise. But if you do it, what do you mean if you do it? So there's still, you know, we see how weak we are in our faith. I mean, this was some dream he had. And he had this promise, but no, let me clarify, God, so you understand what you have to do. You have to feed me, clothe me, and bring me back. And if you do that, you will be my God. And then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set as a pillar will be God's house, place where God was. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. That's interesting. There weren't any coins yet, and there's no way of exchanging money. It was all bartering. So whatever he was going to do, he was going to commit a tenth to God, and goes back to Abraham and Melchizedek when he gave Melchizedek a tenth. So it must have popped into his head that was something that should be done. So this is a major, major change in the trajectory of our friend Jacob. And what really is the lesson here as we go into the next chapter? He continues on the journey. You'll get that later. Even where he stayed, guys, did you notice he wasn't in the city? He was outside the city, changed the name of the city to Bethel. All sorts of things took place. But as he continues on this trip and he continues on his life, there's some things that I think he's learned and we have to remember. Our objective, very simply, share the good news. God provides. We must be willing and aligned. But God provides everything. We forget that. We want to provide a lot. We try very hard to help God in the way we present the message, in every single thing we do. And yet, all God wants is the good news of salvation that's going to change people's lives, transform them, and put them on another track. You know that? It's that simple. Everything else is of interest, but that's what He wants. And when we follow that, the results will come. Do we use the tools? Last night, this was down low, I was trying to write. Said, use the tools. What are the tools? They're prayer. They're talking to God. Talking to God. We talk about prayer, and I know we think we get, dear Lord. Talk to God. We talk to God sitting up, standing down, you know, any way we want. We talk to Does And God talks back, right?
Amen.
It happens. You say, what a big voice from Him. No, you know it. You feel it in your body because that's the way it works. And we're so skeptical and we get so hung up on some of these things when the simplicity is throughout the entire Bible. There's complexity when it comes to prophecy, but other than that, the message of salvation, the blessings that are there, God's on our side. This guy was in the middle of the desert, and God demonstrated His love towards him in giving him that promise. So the drama will continue. This guy was not perfect. Jacob was not perfect. Isaac was not perfect. God can use us as imperfect people. And He uses us right until the day that He promotes us to heaven to be with Him. Never for a day feel that you retired, because this is a life that we're living. It's the only one we have, and we're living it for Him. And He can use us until the day He promotes us. And then the rest of us praise His name because of that. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Your love to us, Your mercy, Your grace, Your understanding. The gift that You gave us at Christmas time is absolutely incredible, as God became a man and lived as a man and died for our sins. Father, as we go through this season, all the excitement and enthusiasm, may we remember that it's because of Jesus Christ that this took place, and it's all about Jesus coming to live, to die, so that we might be redeemed and saved and come into a relationship with You. Bless us for those who are hurting right now. We ask Your healing hand might be upon them. And Father, we know that You love them, and we ask that You would just comfort all of us at a time of need. Father, as we go through difficult days, comfort us. May we look for You for strength, not in ourselves, but for You. Bless us as we go about our week. We ask these things in Jesus' loving and precious name. Amen.